Our scripture for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, and since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
This passage this morning is, I think, one of the more important passages of the New Testament. Within one generation of Jesus announcing the formation of the church. Remember that announcement came? Remember Peter's confession? Who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He asked Peter. You are the Christ, God's Son. It's that same confession that you and I have affirmed throughout the years in our own ministry here. But the church was formed at that time. Not on Peter, but on the confession of Christ. But within one generation, the church was in a mess. It was in danger, actually, of imploding. The church at Corinth was a prime example of this. There were factions within the church. Some say I belong to Paul. Some say I belong to Apollos. Some say I belong to Christ. That's what they were told. There were factions already, and a lack of vision and mission. They couldn't figure out whether they were going to be a continuation of the Jewish faith or they were going to be completely separate from the Jewish faith or not. And that argument went on for almost a generation. In Corinth, there was a sinning of the sort that would make the National Enquirer blush. There were disagreements in the leadership. Peter and Paul sometimes fought like cats and dogs. And add to that the church was being persecuted both by the Romans and the Jewish leaders. Okay, you have that picture? Fast forward 2 millennia, about till today. Okay, did you do that? We've had time to fix all that was wrong with the early church, right? The old divisions are healed, and our sense of mission and vision is crystal clear, right? Our church. Our little corner of the Christian world, the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, is in General Assembly this day in Indianapolis. Reverend Terry Hort is being installed as our new General Minister and President. We'll see a film of hers in not too long. I think that's something that we ought to watch as a congregation. What must we do here to ensure that the church that Reverend Hort leads is on the incline rather than the decline? I think today's scripture can kind of help point us in the right direction. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Question. Has your faith made you new? Has your faith made you new? When you practice your faith, do you feel God's creative spirit moving in you to accomplish a new thing? Or does your faith teach you to hold on for dear life to the tried and true? When I asked myself those same two questions, I had the same kind of glassy stare in my eye that I see now. Which is it? Has your faith made you new, or has your faith made you hold on to the past? Another question. Will the old ways of the church speak to the new world that we are constantly experiencing? Will they? I told you about my friend Dave in the church at Taylor Lake, that he showed up to his first deacon. He was a brand new deacon. Dave was kind of a crazy pirate. And he showed up with a t-shirt on that said, "Give me that old time religion." It was a picture of Stonehenge. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not even saying that the message is a new message. But that our old way of communicating that message must ever be brought forward. What is that message? What is that message that is timeless? Paul tells the Corinthians very plainly, God was in Christ reconciling the world. So our message, the message of the Christian church disciples, must be a message of reconciliation and healing and wholeness. In other words, love. The way we start the service almost every week, "For God so loved the world." Our message is not one of who has the most correct doctrine, is it? Our message is not one of who worships in the correct manner, is it? Our message is not one of who is in and who is out. Our doors must swing wide open as we invite people to this table. In fact, I asked, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the doors to the sanctuary are now open during the service. When I came, they were always closed when they went to children's church. And I thought, let's keep the doors open. Plus the fact one of the doors is broken, and when you close it, it makes a loud noise. But still, we must be that church whose doors are open, not to the correct in belief, not to the correct in doctrine, not even to the in and out people, but our doors must be wide open as we invite people to this table. The New Testament is full of people being invited in who were generally excluded from God's chosen. You know that's right, don't you? Think about it. Right off the bat, the Magi. The Magi are an integral part of the most important story ever told. And they Oh my goodness, they were astrologers, fortune tellers from foreign lands. You can't trust them. But there they were in full witness to the Christ event. And not only that, they were told in the story. The scripture writers made sure they were included in the story. Think about the shepherds on the hillside. And not only that, they were not even first class shepherds. The shepherds on the night watch were not the best shepherds. And yet they were the ones who received the most wonderful news ever. Think about the woman at the well, the sinful woman who had to go fill her pot at the height of the noonday sun with water because none of the women of the town would have anything to do with her. Jesus made his first announcement to her. Think about Zacchaeus. Think about the thief on the cross. And exactly, who are we? Who are we, you and I, in that worldwide work of reconciliation? That's the really, really good part that we're told in this passage. We are ambassadors. How does an ambassador operate? Well, an ambassador represents the sovereign, does she not? An ambassador doesn't represent her own interests. An ambassador represents the sovereign. We are representatives of the sovereign. An ambassador doesn't sit safely in an office somewhere. An ambassador goes out into the world. An ambassador takes a lot of traveling. Now, the traveling might be across the country, across the world. It might be across the street. It might be down the street to that new family. It might be that it involves taking that road to the Salvation Army on Tuesday morning and fixing dinner for 115 people every Tuesday. Did you know when you do that you are ambassadors of Christ? An ambassador goes out in the world. But at the same time, an ambassador invites folk to receive the sovereign. We represent the sovereign, invite people to come and be introduced to the sovereign. You've seen those reception lines at the big galas of the embassies, right? Where the ambassadors are there and they're introducing who would come to the king or the queen or whoever the sovereign is they represent. Well, that's what we do. We invite folk to receive the sovereign. And then finally, an ambassador is loyal to her sovereign. Not just in word, not even in deed, but where your heart lies, there you really will make your place. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are Jesus' diplomatic corps, if you will. We are a diplomatic corps on assignment in Conroe, Texas. Let's get on with our assignment. Amen.